I don't know if it's you or me who's starting this one, so da 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 dee.
And I'll surprise you by not pointing and speaking myself, because it's me.
Okay, good.
Good song, hey? Wrote it myself yesterday when I was drunk. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
Oh, sorry, Dave. It's me, Ian. I just came back from doing my other podcast, Completely Beatles.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You're out of breath.
It was on the other side of Hell Kitty Studios.
On the other side of town? On the other side of the room.
Other side of the room.
And you're out of breath.
Emma, yeah.
You know what? I have one word for you.
What's that?
One word for you.
What's that?
It's just one word.
What's that?
Imminent death from heart attack.
Well, that's enough to startle someone into an imminent death from heart attack. Speaking of which, I was just out in the hallway before the show.
Yeah.
This is reality. And someone, I saw there a moose.
Yeah.
And then I realized this was an antlerless moose. And then realized it's a dog. I thought.
Was it a Great Dane? Because they're moose-like.
Yeah, it was very Marmaduke.
Okay.
And so I'm walking by said dog, mm-hmm. and there's a guy, and he's got a leash, as he should, and he's talking to a friend. And I'm thinking, you know something? A dog this big.
Do you know what they call a female Marmaduke?
What is that?
A bitch.
Why? What'd she do? There's no need for that misogyny. So I'm walking by the largest dog I've ever seen. He's got his own gravitational pull.
Right?
Yeah, like there's a garbage can that's inching its way towards him.
Light was having trouble escaping.
It's going in
dog.
An orbit around him, mm-hmm. exactly. Okay. So I'm walking by, and the fella who's there with the
Stephen Hawking was studying that dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. While in a bad relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm walking by and I'm thinking, like, you know, sometimes we have little dogs here in the building, and they're really barky, and it's like, cause people, oh, it's a little dog.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Yeah. And so I'm thinking, like, clearly this guy owns a huge dog. He has trained his dog.
Mm-hmm.
There's no safer dog than this dog, because you would not have an enormous dog like this and not train it. As I'm walking, the dog lunges for me
right?
with a bark and Johnny lots of fangs. And the guy goes, oh, no, he's okay. I'm like, no, that's like, oh, yeah, you.
Well, here's what you don't understand.
Yeah.
Is you have your own gravitational pull.
Uh-huh.
So that dog was brought into your gravitational pull.
Well, Dave, he made bitch, is what he said, frankly. Like, it was...
You were a Marmaduchess.
You can't have a dog that's that big and not train it.
Yeah.
No.
It's well-trained. It's trained to lunge at people and bark.
Like, if it had two...
It's a protecting dog.
If it had two more heads, it could be guarding the gates of hell.
Three more heads.
Two. Because it's already got one head.
Oh, two more heads.
Two more heads.
Sorry.
Are you thinking about the four-headed dog? That dog guards purgatory.
I'm very bad at math.
That's right. Read your Bible, Dave, is what I'm saying.
It's a four-headed dog.
That's right.
Okay. He has a forehead.
Yes.
All dogs are four-headed dogs, actually.
And all dogs go to heaven. So there it's weird go. That it's the weird one would be in hell guarding the thing.
Yeah.
It kind of goes against the whole it's concept of that
dog.
Movie.
It's not actually a dog.
So we've run out of things to say. It's our 105th episode, and we are dry as toast.
Well, you mentioned something in the beginning.
Dry as a poor man's toast.
You mentioned something in the beginning, and I kind of ran over it, but you said you were doing a new podcast called Completely Beatles.
Yes.
Would you please explain that for our listeners who are listening to the show right now?
Well, I'm doing that with my friend David Dedrick, who's a guy I know from high school.
Oh.
He's a bit down on his luck.
Yep.
Yeah, I see him at the railroad tracks every so often.
Yeah.
Is he
hoboing?
Yes. He plays what he calls the hobo banjo.
Yeah.
Which is his genitals. anyway.
It has a nice rubber band sound.
That's right. He says, he's always going, I gotta tune it. It's almost in tune.
What's good? Well, you tune it by stretching it. You tune it by stretching
That's
it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, do not ask to see his mouth organ. The point is...
not at the same time.
This fella is a big Beatles fan. Mm-hmm. And occasionally, we do another podcast called Sneaky Dragon. And occasionally on that podcast, we have veered into talking about the Beatles that we've decided to do a spinoff podcast. And it's called Completely Beatles. It is... Now, here's the great thing.
It sounds completely great.
Right. Now, here's the nice thing is the word completely is spelt... a little bit in a funny way, which is great when you're doing a verbal pun.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually a visual pun.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, that's fine.
Nothing works better on the radio.
It's a little cheap. It's a little trick. And it's also called a deep cut.
It is.
Yeah.
But when you see how it's spelled, it will go, I get it.
Yeah.
And then you'll get the reference and everything. Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we're going track by track. album by album.
Yes.
We're doing all of the Beatles albums.
Okay.
You and me. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Oh, I'm involved with this.
Yes, we've established that.
Okay.
That's right.
I was so in the third person on this, I'd just forgotten who I was.
No, I understand. And
I'm a method actor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew that. I'm a Methodist. And whenever I get into a role like that, I just forget who I am.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're a real Christian Bale.
I forget. I'm a real... Yes. Well, a Methodist is a Christian. No kidding. But anyway.
And I bailed on that when I was about 14.
And so, yeah, I don't like anyone getting in my light while I'm performing, though.
That's right.
Don't forget
that. The light of the Lord.
The light of the Lord.
So, speaking of bigger than Jesus, we're doing the Beatles. We're doing every album, and we're going track by track. Yes. And you're filling in a lot of trivia, interesting facts about the Beatles.
I like the trivia.
And I'm doing wise ass bullshittery.
No, you're not. You have approached it from an interesting way because you're kind of examining it from the lyrics and you're kind of thinking about the lyrics in a different way than, because I'm not really a lyric person when I listen to music. I really like I love music. And that's what I often listen to music while I'm doing things, like when I'm drawing or when I'm reading, I listen to music. And music that I really like, I always kind of joke, shoots a blue beam of light out into my brain and attracts my attention to it. Because often I can listen to an album, and especially like a new album, and nothing on it is interesting to me while I'm reading or whatever. But there'll be a moment when suddenly my ears perk up. I'm like, well, what's that? And I stop doing what I'm doing. I'm like, this is awesome. I can't believe how great this is. And this happens without my knowing why. This is just a weird thing. And it can even... I can listen to like half the song and it'll be like the guitar solo that just grabs me, you know? And so,
nice.
And once it happens, then I'm just, yeah, I'm into it.
Very cool. And you're very passionate about music. And so that element comes into it. And I say I'm doing wise ass bullshittery, but I like the Beatles, and a lot of these songs I'm hearing for the first time, because I've not heard a lot of these, a little bit more, I would say, obscure best-selling albums, but like, you know, there's some songs that I'm not that familiar with.
Sure.
And so we kind of break those down as well and have a bit of fun.
It's going to be fun.
So that's coming out shortly. We'll tell you more about that when that comes out.
Happens.
But it's called Completely Beatles. It's a spin-off podcast. We got some other ideas for spin-offs. And you know what? Because we can't leave well enough alone.
That's right. Yeah.
That's our problem. We're on year three of this podcast now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we got to freshen up.
Is it year three? Yeah, it is year three.
Yeah, we got to freshen up
It's officially year three today, right?
Yeah, we got to freshen up the
marriage. This show is officially year three.
Dude, I don't want to get into this. Okay. I don't want to get into the millennium
thing. Just trying to figure it out.
Is it starting 2000 to start 2001? I don't want to get into it.
It starts in 2001.
I do not want to get into it. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter because it's over. It's over now.
We don't have to argue about it.
Yeah, we'll argue about it in 3000. Yeah, it'll be fun. That argument's done.
I was thinking
about that. You know what we're arguing about now? We're arguing, what do we call this decade? Is it the ones, the 11s, the teens, the what's? What do we call it?
The onesies.
We didn't know what the noughts.
That was the noughties.
That's what they said.
That's the best
Some
name.
Some people decided that.
That is the best name.
So what is the one for now?
The onesies.
Anyway, there we are. We don't know anyway. We got that thing is other things. So those are the future. Okay. So how, David.
Yes.
You're still off the sugar?
I'm still off the sugar. I said November 20th was my last day eating sugar. It's not totally strict though. Like when I do my Lenten sugar fast thing, it's this crazy town. Like I don't have any sugar at all.
Except for?
Fruit.
That's right.
I allow myself fruit.
To which people who also have given up sugar go, what, you're eating fruit?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
That seems kind of strange that you can't eat fruit. I mean, what are you, only eat vegetables? It seems like kind of boring. But
okay.
But I do like I don't some things I don't like. I don't have raisins while I'm on a sugar fast, because that just seems like, you know, like this sort of condensed sugar fruit thing.
And you do not consume alcohol anyway, so you would not have wine.
I wouldn't have to worry about that. That's right. Or beer, which is very sugar laden.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have ketchup. I don't have.
Now this is where I find this is what I find strange.
Yeah.
Is you and your sugar fast.
Yeah.
You will not have ketchup.
Yeah.
But you will eat an apple. And to me, it feels like apple is much sweeter than ketchup.
Well, because ketchup to me, it's more about like refined sugars. So like when you have an apple, it's just a naturally occurring sugar, right? In the apple. Whereas a bottle of ketchup is just chock full of sugar that's been refined and made into a really sweet, gloppy thing that they've just thrown into the... Like, I think if you just had homemade ketchup without sugar in it, that'd be fine.
Ah.
You know.
But maybe that's an interesting thing you could do.
Yeah.
Mix up a little tomato, a little vinegar.
Sure.
Go to town. Have a nice time.
Go to town.
And I'm mentioning this because I'm trying to get off of sugar myself.
And it's hard, isn't it?
It's incredibly hard. Now, my problem as well is I've also been giving up caffeine because I'm supposed to be off coffee as well. It's kind of upsetting to my stomach recently. And so, you know, I'm not having the colas.
yeah.
which I used to have, yeah. and I'm not having the coffee. I'm trying to have tea, but as we've discussed in a previous episode, in a restaurant, tea is a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, I had an experience this morning where someone, I was at the Dutch Pannekoek House.
Okay.
And you know what? The Dutch Pannekoek House is a nice, simple family restaurant. Good times had by all. Give you a nice big pancake. I did not have a pancake because that is sweet.
Is a pancake sweet?
You can have it sweet or savory.
Okay.
But I had an Eggs Benedict. Quite nice. Mm-hmm. And then could I have some Earl Grey tea, I said, needing caffeine very badly because I had very little sleep last night.
Yeah.
And they give me the hugest pot in the world. You know, that's like the tea bags off to the side. I got to make it myself. Okay, I put it in. I can't get the lid on the top right. And then, yeah, everything's spilling boiling water everywhere. It's just a nightmare. Whereas coffee, so
it's a nightmare
here's your
for
coffee.
You? It's a nightmare for you or for everyone? Because you're a particularly inept person and clumsy.
You know what? I've seen my sister-in-law works at a tea shop.
Yes,
and I've seen her in diners where they've
given. She's been on the show, Vicky Van, former friend of the show.
Right, and I've seen her in diners where they give you the little metal teapot, the little metal hot thing.
Yeah.
Where you know what? Sensibly, you should hold the top so that it doesn't spill out of the top when you think. Yeah. But of course, heat conducts upwards through this metal thing, and so you cannot do that. And I've seen her spill all over the place, too. And she's a professional tea person.
She wasn't when this happened, though, I'm sure.
You know what? I think she was. I think she was a little bit... was a couple of months into it.
Oh, well, she was still a beginner. She was still on parole at work.
That was at the Night and Day restaurant. Yeah. I remember this tea incident.
Tea incident.
Yeah.
Well, you know...
it is tricky, but I was just going to say that I...
I'm not going to let you say it.
I had one cheat day because my wife's birthday...
Why not? Of course.
Pia Guerra, also been on the show.
Yes. Former friend of the show,
Pia Guerra. She opted, because she's gluten-free, she opted not for cake, but for ice cream. And we went to a place called Ernest's Ice Cream.
Okay.
And insanely good ice cream.
Ernest Ice Cream.
Ernest Ice Cream. It's a couple that...
The importance of being Ernest Ice Cream.
If you watch the commercial for these guys, it looks like a Portlandia sketch. Like, it could not be more, I don't know about this. But...
a lot of hemp flavor.
Yeah. Our neighbor here at Hell Kitty Studios across the hall from us, he is in the ad, so that caught my eye.
Okay.
I went there. I tried their ice cream. I didn't try it initially. I let them try it. I let Vicky and Pia try it.
Okay.
And we got a couple. And my Lord. It was the best ice cream I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
It was so good. I had it the next day. Mm. And they had the cardamom. We had the milk chocolate. And we went with a salty caramel. Oh, insane.
Nice.
Talk to me. When are you off your thing on the
20th of December.
We'll talk. We'll talk then.
I probably will be off it on the weekend because we're having, or next weekend because we're having a little get together with some friends. And I probably will.
We're having a get together with another guest of the show.
Yeah, that's right. Former friend of the show, David Fine.
David Fine.
Wow. We're really... referring back to past things.
We're really name-dropping friends of ours.
I had a bit of an upsetting week, actually.
Okay. All right.
This happened yesterday.
All right. Wait a second. Let me get things in order so that I can rearrange my emotions to this. And because I've been very light so far.
Well, you will probably find it kind of trivial, but actually kind of disturbed me a lot and I actually considered not using Facebook anymore.
All right. I want to hear this.
Well, I watched a movie a little while ago. Or I watched it the other day called Room 237, which is a movie which I thought was about The Shining. I thought it was about like discussing some of the psychological effects that Stanley Kubrick used so well in The Shining.
Now, the name of the movie refers to
the Room 237 is the haunted or scary room that you're not supposed to go in. Oh, Halloran, the Scott Van Crothers character, warns us that we should not go into Room 237.
Right.
You don't want to go into Room 237.
It would be interesting in a horror movie if someone ever tells you to do that and you never do.
237, and you see at the end of the movie, this has like a bit of blood flowing down like a tear.
That's out of the peephole.
Out of the peephole, yeah. So I watched this film, and because I just thought there's a really interesting YouTube channel or YouTube videos. I think it's called like Collative Learning, a name like that. And this guy does really interesting psychological examinations of film, looking for hidden elements in the movie that point to themes in the film.
Okay.
And they're really good videos, and they're kind of fun. And there's one on The Shining, and it talks about the architecture of the Overlook Hotel as designed by Stanley Kubrick.
I've heard about
this. Sure. And if you look at the blueprints of the Overlook Hotel, Kubrick designed it as a puzzle that makes no sense. And the hotel itself is almost a reflection of the maze that's in the hotel, that's in the movie as well, which of course wasn't in the book. And like when there's scenes where there's hallways that make no sense. When Jack Nicholson's character goes into the office, Mr. Ullman's office in the film, his room has this window, which is impossible. It wouldn't work in the actual architecture of the hotel. So Kubrick put in these sort of things, patterns and patterns that change. Chairs and other furniture disappear from cut to cut in scenes. And they're all there to slightly disturb your, to slightly disturb you. So you're not like, ah, oh, this is so scary. But this is kind of like, oh, this is weird. Like, and you don't know why.
Yeah.
It's just weird to your mind. So I thought, oh, this sounds really interesting. What Room 237, though, is about crazy people who are obsessed with The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a little Facebook thing about it. I just said, I thought I was going to, I know I watched 237. I thought it would be about The Shining, but it's about crazy people's. I spelled crazy, C-R-A-Z-E-E.
Right. The crazy way.
Yeah, the crazy way. Because I was just making like a little comment about it. I wasn't really a criticism of the film. I enjoyed it to a degree on that aspect, but...
By the way, nothing on the internet that you ever put down, I'm just going to tell you this, ever is said with a period at the end. Everything is an exclamation mark.
Oh, okay. I wrote it with a period.
Yeah, well, I'm just
maybe saying, that's where I made a mistake.
No, I'm just saying everything is taken.
Oh.
Like if you say... I walked my dog today and saw a squirrel. The internet reads that. People reading it as, I walked my dog today. I saw a squirrel. And people will go like, what's the big fucking deal? It's just a squirrel. Like, I was just telling you about my dog and the squirrel. Just like, why are you yelling? Quit yelling. Yeah, that kind of business. That's how the internet reads everything.
So someone saw this and they're like, don't get me started. They're like, don't get me started. And I said.
Because they're a 1940s comedian.
Don't get me started. It's absurd. And I said, absurd like. My child walked into the room and told me a story that was slightly related, but not really related at all to the movie. And isn't that synchronicity absurd? And then I wrote, and I also like how she describes watching this film 1,000 times as work. I just put those two comments down, right? Because it's just kind of funny to me.
Yeah.
I didn't hate the film. And in fact, I have been a long time collector of oddities, human oddities in my life.
Okay.
Lots of people like you and other friends.
Right.
That we're just slightly different from, you know,
we
don't walk the same path as other people follow. And that's fine. That's why I like you as a friend. That's why I liked other friends that I have. That's why they're my friends.
That will remain nameless. Yes.
They will remain nameless. Yeah. I like them. Some have been really crazy. I'm not referring to you in this way. Some have been crazy and disturbed in a way that probably would be disturbing to other people
and
to listen to them.
I am very similar.
Yeah.
And some have gone in dark paths and some have gone in very successful paths.
Yeah.
Some are no longer with us because of the paths they've walked and so on and so forth. Yes. Yeah.
So those are sort of people that I have in my life. So I have no problem with those people in the movie. I think it's kind of funny. But at the same time, when you advertise a film on Netflix, this is where I saw it, as an examination of The Shining, that's what it should be.
All right.
Right? It shouldn't be an examination of the crazy people who like The Shining. Because that's what the film kind of becomes. There's a guy who believes that Stanley Kubrick directed the fake footage of the moon landing, and The Shining tells us that he did it. And he left several clues in it to tell us that that's what he did.
You've seen the faux documentary about that, have you? Or have you not?
No.
Okay. It was an interesting documentary about how Stanley Kubrick faked the moon landing.
Yeah.
And it was the point of the documentary was, hey, it's really easy to make fake documentaries, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like they have a bunch of footage of people backing up this story. Sure. And by the end of it, you're like, holy shit, the moon landing was faked. And then they go, no, it wasn't. And this is how easy it is to do that. But please continue.
See, that's a funny thing. But unfortunately... It works in the opposite
way.
Now,
let me just say, you're Frank Netflix, the owner of Netflix, and Frank does all the write-ups himself.
Yeah.
Now, what would you do? You've got two sentences, because we don't have more room than that. You've got two sentences to write up the description of this film. How do you do it? And you want people to tap on it.
Okay.
Go.
An examination of The Shining and the people who have studied it closely. How's that?
That sounds fine. How was it different than what they said?
A study of The Shining.
Ah, okay.
Like a critical examination of The Shining. And so when I saw that, I just thought of that guy from, I think his name's Rob Ager, who does these collative learning videos. I thought, oh, he'll probably be in this movie because he does these things and he'll have this stuff about. But it didn't. It actually had a guy showing the various ways that Danny travels on his big wheel through the hotel. But his map that he drew out never mentions the fact that the hallways that Danny is traveling end in a dead end. And that it actually couldn't be where he was. And just things like that, you know. And one compares, like, the scene where Shelley Duvall has the bat and Jack Nicholson is you know, confronting her and forcing her up the stairs to an Incan ziggurat, you know, to an Incan pyramid, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Okay. But no, because what does that mean in relation to the film? Like, hello, like, it doesn't help. You know, it just kind of drove me a little kooky that way. But anyway, I wasn't criticizing that much. I just said crazy people, right? Got those mentions, made a couple of jokes about it. Then another friend writes in and said, I really enjoyed that film. I thought it was really interesting the way it showed that people become obsessed with something and how they can twist reality to fit their what they think.
Absolutely.
I said, that's an interesting point. The other person who's commenting on it said, that's not an interesting point. I still hate the film. And then it kind of went back and forth a little bit. And finally, this person went, okay, I like something and you didn't. You win? And then he just signed off.
Okay.
And I just felt like, oh, like I didn't mean, like that's not what I was trying to do.
That's
like,
not your fault though.
Yeah.
But, it's not your fault.
But you know what I mean? Like yeah. I kind of started it and I kind of was playing along with it too, like
yeah.
joking back and forth. And then it ended with this kind of feel like bad feeling, like a sour ending. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, so, and it just left me such a sour taste in my mouth that I was, seriously, yesterday I was just like, I almost did it. I almost wrote, I'm signing off Facebook for a while. I'm not going to be back. I'm not signing off my account. I'll still be on it because I have to do Sneaky Dragon, obviously. Yeah. But I'm just not going to write on this for about a year.
So. Yeah.
And that's how I felt. Like just all yesterday I felt about it. I kind of calmed down today. I still didn't write on it today.
I've done two things. Let me write down what the other one is. Okay. But the first, I was thinking about a similar thing with YouTube comments. Because I went on tour recently with someone and they dislike the internet. And the reason they dislike the internet is they have had so much negative feedback on things they've done. They've only read the negative feedback. There's also positive feedback, but the negative is what hits them, you know,
it's stronger in a way.
I understand, but it's like, if you're not constantly exposed to it, it can really be like, ugh, it's off-putting. But the way I kind of tried to describe it to him, like especially YouTube comments, because there's always, it doesn't matter what you put up on YouTube, you can put the most beautiful thing and you're going to get people being mean. Mm-hmm. It's 1 a.m. at the bar. This is what internet message boards are. It's 1 a.m. at the bar. People are either like loving things too much, like to the point of tears, going, man, I love you. You're my best friend. Buddy, I fucking love you. Or they're getting too annoyed about things that mean nothing. What's that supposed to mean? What would you say? What would you say to me? Or they just want to fight to have a fight because they want to feel something because it's 1 a.m. and what the fuck? I'm not going to get laid. So I just want to fight somebody. So I have a fucking story to tell tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't care who it is. I'm not even mad at you. I'm just starting a fight to start a fight.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know me so well.
That's right. That's right. So you get those things. And that's what you get in an internet message board as well. Mm. You get those same, you know, you post something and people are like, oh, this is so beautiful. This reminds me of my child and da da da. And it's God bless you, sir. You know, it's just like, it's what have you, but you can't take it. You have to take it. You can take it seriously. And like the people who are drunk at 1 a.m. at the bar are real people too. Mm-hmm. They've got full lives. They do other things, but it's 1 a.m. at the bar.
Yeah.
And you've got to take it with the grain of salt that it's 1 a.m. at the bar. And that's what's happening on Facebook too. People get heated. Like there's two guys yelling at the
bar. Can I just say the difference though is that there's me involved in it. And it's two people that I know. Like on YouTube, I don't know that person. I don't know Mr. X 000111.
But let's put you at
or Super Troll 91.
Let's put you at the bar. You're at the bar with two of your friends that drink.
Yeah.
And we're all having a good time and we're joking around. Yeah. And then the joking gets a little out of control because someone says something that just hits the other person the wrong way. Because we've had discussions about movies or stuff.
Yeah.
And then it gets a little, well, but I liked Man of Steel.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's like, yeah. And these two guys, you've started it.
Yeah.
You started the discussion. It's now getting, but it's not your fault. It's just like they had too much to drink. This is whatever. Mm. And the next day they won't give a fuck. And it's there. And you can like feel bad about it and go, I'm never going to bring up movies to my friends again.
Yeah.
Or just go, this is what this was. And you learn from it. And you go,
I guess that's it. And I mean, I'm the sort of person that takes things very personally, even if it's not meant personally. Like if I phoned you and you didn't phone me back, my first thought wouldn't be, oh, Ian's phone is working. My first thought is, I've offended Ian and he's mad at me and now he's not phoning me back.
Or Ian has a phone phobia and he doesn't like using the phone.
But you know what I mean, right?
Yeah,
that's completely. Where I don't go to some normal explanation of what it is. I immediately make it into some paranoid personal thing.
Now, here's the other thing about that.
So now I think everyone's mad at me.
Because people, you know, people get upset about people online.
I don't have a lot of friends on Facebook, right?
You could. Do you not accept friendships?
I do if I know the person.
Ah, there you go. I let people on anyway and just see where it goes. And if they turn out to be a jerk, I'll get rid of them.
It's funny, like one of our listeners, our dear friend Mary Hook, she sent me a friend request and I was like, don't know who you are? Nope. And then I read something else and I went like, oh, she's a Sneaky Dragon fan. Oh, so then I sent her a friend request like, oh, sorry, I didn't know who you were when you sent that. Because if I don't know who you are, I just...
Yep.
I don't.
Now, here's the bigger question to me about the internet and, like, you know, people sometimes talk about it's so terrible on there, it's whatever. But there's an argument to me, too, about, like, violent video games. And what they've sort of found with violent video games is it actually prevents violence because people, one, get it out of their system, mm-hmm. you know, playing a game. And also it takes up so much time that they don't go out and do the real violence because they're so obsessed with the game.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that kind of hostility and kind of scrappiness online stops people from being like that in real life, or if they transfer it then to their real lives. Will they be as argumentative and, like, cold? Like, they probably wouldn't be as sharp with each mm-hmm. other, you know, no. unless it's 1 a.m. at the bar, in real life yeah. as they would be.
But if it's 1 a.m. in the bar and you're getting in a fight with someone, you are willing to accept the physical risks that you're entering into because you're drunk and your judgment is poor.
Yeah, your judgment is poor. You're probably not accepting, like, that, you know, you're going to be in the hospital for 2 weeks with a broken jaw.
But I don't think...
You just are in the heat of the moment.
I don't think in real life people are willing to take the emotional hit of what they're saying to each other, you know, without that emotional element and on.
I guess I sometimes go to, you know, Granville Street, like on Saturday or Friday nights, mm-hmm. and that's our main street here in Vancouver. And you've got guys that just want something. They want to feel something. Yeah.
They're all wearing dress shirts and jeans.
This is the time that they're out and they've done their work all week, and now it's, but God, I'm going to have some experience. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a bit of that, you know, again, to a lesser extent online. It's that safety, you know, and just like, I just want to get into something with someone. And, you know, I'm going to have a stronger opinion than I actually am. I'm going to put up something controversial. And if someone gets mad, I'm going to go, you're too sensitive. And there you go. It's like this week, there was a thing, this guy, Alan was his name or whatever.
Elan Gale. Yeah.
Elan Gale. There you go. And so, you know, he posted, a live
Twitter exchange. Yeah.
It wasn't even a Twitter exchange. It was just he tweeted his experience on a plane with someone who was being rude to the airline staff.
She was an awful woman.
And people had very distinct opinions, mm-hmm. you know, online about this. And some were like, you're the asshole. She's the asshole. This is the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. There's nothing fucking funnier. No, this guy is the Holocaust and he deserves a da da da. And it's like, you know, it goes on. And he seemed to be having fun on his tweet thing, going like, you guys are overreacting and I'm enjoying making you mad. And he's that guy who just enjoys a fight. He's enjoying the spectacle.
Sure.
And then finally just went, hey, it was all fake. And and so
that's a come down.
Yeah, it's like, okay, which is weird because if he did this and didn't get a reaction, that would have been the weirdest thing in the world to tweet something bullshitty and fake. But, you know, that's the thing. People just want the experience.
Yeah.
People want the fucking roller coaster ride. And so this guy
went,
I'm going to start
the ride. It would be weird
if
he didn't admit that it was fake?
What's that?
Did he say it would be weird if he didn't admit it was fake? Is that what you just
said? No, I said it would be weird. It would be weird like if he didn't get a lot of attention for it, then it would have been this weird series of tweets he did that just was nothing.
Yeah.
And if it didn't get outrage and then he went, oh, that was fake, people would have gone, so what?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, hey, guess
well,
what?
Well, I don't think he would have said it was fake.
Guys, I met the Pope. Oh, you met the Pope? No.
Well,
you know, it's just like, what's the hell?
You know, the thing is, apparently he was getting in trouble for making fun of this woman when she had cancer.
Yeah, so someone else popped in and said, this was...
I know that lady.
She has cancer.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is now he's making fun of that person. I'm like, well, he was bullshitting like you. You're as much of a liar as that fucker. What are you fucking talking about? Get out of here. You're both the same thing. You know, you're both wanting the emotional ride that the internet can provide.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going on with that. But yeah, you can drive yourself crazy with that kind of business if you want to. You've just got to, like, moderate it in your own head. You know,
well, I'm sure he garnered a lot of extra followers from doing that.
Not as many as I would think. Like, I was looking and he seemed to have like 170,000. Whereas for the amount...
Well, that's about 170,000 more than I do.
That's fine, but you're not an asshole. You know, people like looking at a car accident.
Yeah.
You know, a lot more people are going to look at the car accident on the road tonight than you safely driving home. Does that mean you're lesser of a person? No, it means you're sensible.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I'm going like 175,000. Like, all right, you know, that's... Okay.
Well, that's pretty good for a guy who's just like a writer for a reality show.
Yeah, he's a producer for a reality show. But like, he was kind of an internet spectacle for a while.
Okay. And like, I never heard of him before.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't have. But he was an internet spectacle
from
because of this.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
like an internet spectacle, I guess I feel like, well, that's going to get you
like
500,000
or
whatever.
What did he have before that?
No, he was just a producer for The Bachelor.
Yeah, yeah, but what did he have like in terms of followers before that?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't even know.
Okay.
I mean, I'm taking all this as like new followers.
Yeah.
You're right. Maybe he had like a lot before, and so it's not all that much. But it just felt like What was?
And I just wondered if there was like a drop off after he admitted it was a fake story. If people were kind of like, I'm gonna follow this guy. This is really great. Oh, it's fake. Ugh.
Well, here's what I think. Like, really got people going was there was it was a Huffington Post headline that said, you know, obnoxious woman gets what she deserves or something like, you know, and that felt like. It feels weird.
The original exchange was unpleasant.
A young man really sticking it to an older woman.
Yeah.
That feels weird on a bully level of just like, you're like, well, what's she going to do? Yeah. Like, eventually she slaps him in the face. Like, would you have done this if you were like
That didn't feel very real.
But the slap in the face?
Yeah. That made me wonder. I actually said to Lisa, I said, that doesn't sound fake to me.
Well, if she was mentally unbalanced, again, we're talking about a fake person here.
So it's not that I didn't believe the story,
but
I didn't believe that tweet, that I didn't think that happened.
It's interesting when you have the drop off of belief, there's something that triggers something in your head and you just go this. I have that a lot when people post stuff and I just go, no, that's not true at all. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, you know me.
In fact, here was a thing that happened recently with my sister. She posted a thing that was like the 10 things you've got to know to succeed in life by Bill Gates.
Oh.
And the first thing was like, life isn't fair.
That's
and,
true.
And, you know, and, well, whatever. And it was like, life isn't,
well, whatever.
And it was like, life isn't fair. And then there was things like, you know, you got to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and like,
I don't think you should accept that, but I think that's true.
All right. Well, okay. We can get to that in a bit. But it was all these things. And then I went like, well, that doesn't sound like Bill Gates. Bill Gates is a philanthropist who's trying to cure polio.
I mean, he has that element, but yeah, he's also a businessman who's destroyed companies in order to make his company huge.
No, I understand that, but currently his thing is this.
Currently,
I don't see him doing...
Now that he's crushed all the competition,
also,
he's the nicest person in the world.
A top 10 list of things. This doesn't sound
that's
like
David
Bill
Letterman.
Gates. So I went like, let's Snopes this. And of course, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
It was from this book and this, and it's been credited to him. It's like the Kurt Vonnegut, thing.
No, it's what it makes you think of it, all those hilarious kind of Einstein things where they have that kind of slightly religious content to them. And like, the man who said that was Einstein. You're just, no, we didn't. Why would he even say that?
So I mentioned this. I go like, you know, no, that's cool that you believe that. But just saying Bill Gates did not say this.
Yeah.
And then my sister got upset about it. Like, well, I don't care. You know, I just think it's great. And like it was an offense that I brought up that
you should have said, Bill Gates didn't say this. I'm sorry, life isn't fair.
And then I play the Malcolm in the Middle theme song. Life is unfair. Yeah.
Is that Malcolm in the Middle?
Yeah, Malcolm in the Middle. That's how the
song
is.
Was that the ending,
the
ending song?
That's right.
Okay. Not the start song.
It is.
You're not
the
boss of me now.
Yeah, it ends with Life is Unfair. That's how the song ends. The Malcolm in the Middle.
I should have watched that show.
Well, it was not bad. Yeah. It's still available, I believe, on Netflix when you're
possible.
When you're not watching that.
I think you're thinking of Breaking Bad.
Which has a fake ending now that actually ends with that as well, that same song. Anyway, it just kind of was like, oh, you know, you can't – she got mad at me for that. Mm. You know, there's just like the correction. Any correction is like an insult.
Yeah, it is kind of insulting.
Was it insulting what I did?
No, it's not. But people take it that way nowadays. It's very strange.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Like, okay. Like, we're just so independently minded now. We just can't stand the idea that someone has the gall to correct us or tell us something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't you want to know you're walking towards a cliff? I was just telling you, like, shut up. It's my cliff. I can do what I want.
Yeah. I guess I'm a stickler for who said that. Like, again, I think that's a bit of the writer. It is. Like, I'm a bit of the writer in me. It's like, if someone quotes something to someone who's misquoted, I go like, no, someone really worked hard to say these things well in a way that you feel is effective. And also, you know, like, again, there was a Kurt Vonnegut thing, you know, a while ago that people went, oh, he said all this at a commencement address. He didn't say any of that stuff, you know. And it's like, Kurt Vonnegut has written many wonderful things.
He's too busy drinking coffee.
We should not be quoting him incorrectly. Use the things that he wrote.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff there, you know. You know, shit happens. William Shakespeare should not be the quote.
He said, la-di-da, so it goes. And what else did Kurt Vonnegut say?
He also said, please don't cast Jerry Lewis in that movie of mine.
In Slapstick.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Please don't do that. Don't let him play the president of the United States. I don't think there's been any good adaptations of a Kurt Vonnegut novel. The closest would be Slaughterhouse-Five.
Slaughterhouse-Five.
But even that is kind of unsuccessful because it turns it literal rather than in the story where it has a element of you're not sure, is he really doing this or is it just a psychological thing that's happening?
There was a thing with the, just going back to the internet briefly because I've got this written down here.
Sure.
I have a message.
Good old internet.
Yeah, I have a message board about improv. And in that message board,
yes,
I occasionally talk about my past, and my past involves a company. I'm not going to mention the name of it because I have, I've not made a promise, but I've said I won't do something. Yes. So, but I'll explain that.
I've signed a piece of paper.
A
legally binding document.
I've talked about the company that I used to work with, and I've talked about it in unflattering terms because they've done some unflattering things.
Yes.
And this has upset some people that are in the company to the point where I went like, you know what? Maybe I'm getting too internet heated here. Maybe
because they're just brainwashed zombies.
But I went like, you know what? Maybe I need to cool off from this for a while. So I've given it about 3 months, and I've said like, I'm not going to talk about this group until January 1st.
It's your shitter fest.
Yeah, and it's been tough because things have come up, and I'm like, oh, I should. I've made this. I made this promise.
You want to have that pie?
You want to have that pie?
Yeah.
What's okay? You're talking about like the
sugar fast? Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of sugar fasty.
Yeah.
But it almost feels like, you know, to me that I'm talking about a pie that's will make you shit your pants, and I'm seeing someone else eat it, and I'm like, I should warn them about. Nah, they'll get mad at me for warning them about shitting their pants.
People don't want to be corrected.
No, they don't. But like, you know what I think that might be?
Did you?
Well, you know, here's the thing. This is actually a big thing that I do discuss on the internet message board, which is I think one of the biggest flaws that we have is the inability to take notes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not just
to take criticism. Yeah.
Right. But people take it this way, which is like it's all on you that like you're just too sensitive. But I think people don't know how to give criticism either. Mm-hmm. I think people don't know how to give it without pointing the finger and being accusing.
OK.
And so you're going to naturally go, well, who are you, the king of fucking France, you know, to judge me on this? Like, no, it's not coming with judgment.
So is it OK if the king of France does it that way then?
Is there a king of France?
Possibly relatives.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But I think
there was like, an emperor of France.
At the end of most improv performances, we would have a thing called post-mortem, and we'd give notes. And what would end up
happening— Particularly if someone died on stage.
Yes. And the problem was people would not give notes to the more experienced players because politically they didn't want to upset them. And so only notes would be given to the newer players, and so the notes would just be bullshit. Because if you only give notes to a certain amount of people and not to other people, then it's all crap and you realize, oh, I'm only getting notes because I'm new. And so the big thing I think is like, you know, when I'm trying to train improvisers is like, we've got to learn how to give and get notes early, not take it personal, and then brush it aside afterwards. You know, like just say yes to the note. Just go, oh, okay, thanks for your perspective on that.
Yeah.
Take the stuff that you agree with, ditch the stuff you don't. If you keep getting that note over and over again, maybe it's time to take it, buddy. But it's not a personal attack. And I think that is something, especially in North America, that we have is like any criticism is, all right, you want to fight? No, I just, forget it.
No, I can see that. I think there's, it's a big part of our view of ourselves now is completely independent of all other community around us, you know. It's really almost the most modern understanding of ourselves that we have now is this idea of ourselves as a lone wolf versus you. I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm. It's us versus them.
But it's not,
us, not even versus them. It's me, us and them.
It's me versus everyone else now.
Right. But it can then expand to it's you and your family and then the rest of the world. It's you and your country and the rest of the world.
You can have that element
to it
as well.
You can take it to that point.
Yeah.
But I don't think like we know how to say complain about things. Like in that faux airplane problem, you know, the woman the woman that doesn't exist was complaining that she was going to miss her flight and miss her Thanksgiving with her family because the airline screwed up, which I've had happen to me. And I've missed important things because airlines have screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we're not taught in school. We're not taught really by our parents. You know, how do you complain about something in a way to try to get things done that isn't just you going and how are you complaining in a way that you're complaining to the right person? Like, you know, you don't want to be just yelling at the steward, you know, about something because they can't do shit. And you know, you're just being a jerk to this person. Like, how do you make things better? You know, how do you do that? And I don't think we know how to do that at all.
I think you're right. I don't know why though. Why can't we? Like, we just don't have that politeness now that allows us to speak in a way that's...
I almost think like it's almost trying to be polite. You're trying to be polite and the politeness will not allow you then to complain because you don't want to be rude to this person.
Okay.
And yet you want to get this thing done.
So we're too sensitive. We're too sensitive to other people's feelings to complain
so
properly.
You get that,
gee, that's a hard thing to overcome.
Well, here's the thing like that you get sometimes with customer service lines, which I've heard, and I know people who work in them.
Yeah.
It's like if you're talking and you're a customer service representative, if someone swears at you, you hang up the phone.
Yes.
That's the end of that. Like to the point where sometimes you want to get them to swear so that they'll hang up the phone. But like up until that point, you've got to take it, you've got to take it, you've got to take it, and they swear.
Yeah.
Now, this person who's swearing to you on the phone, odds are, would not swear to you if they were at, you know, the department store at the complaint thing because you're that one degree of separation away. Like I'm talking, but I'm on the phone, but I'm safe.
Yeah.
And just like, well, fuck you, hang. Now let's take that one more degree away and we're on the internet. Now you can't see or, you know, have any contact except just words.
Yeah.
Now it just goes even farther. And so I think almost the internet thing is giving us a chance to, in a way that we're not able to like get
not healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not having healthy sex at home, so we're going out to the freaky corners of town, and we're yelling at a duck until we orgasm.
But once again, the internet is a very lonely place. You know, it's not really a collective. I mean, Facebook isn't really. It's sort of a fake community in a way.
How do you say it's fake?
Well, it's.
Are you on Fakebook?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. When you.
I'm friends with Mickey Mouse. I'm friends with Donald Duck.
But it's a pretend closeness with people, right? It's not a real, you know, like you can feel like these are all my friends on Facebook and these people all support me in a big way. But, you know, clicking like on things that you post isn't really supporting you.
That is true. Though in times of actual crisis, I've found that Facebook has been a good way to gather people together and actually give real support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when shit actually does go down,
kind of support? Like,
if there's a death in the family, I've seen a thing where like someone recently needed a liver transplant.
Yeah.
And this was a comedian and, people really did, you know, there was a lot of people like just giving, you know, sending good thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, we're with you. We care. Please get better. But there was people actually like looking into it and checking things out. And then he actually ended up getting a liver transplant with help from people he met.
I mean, that's a practical thing.
That's
there.
Right. That's
I mean, if you're looking for a car, people can help you find a car as well. The liver is one example. A car is another example of a similar transaction. But let's think about someone who's so sad that they're thinking about killing themselves.
Right.
Can that come across in our Facebook post? It doesn't really.
Oh, you know, no, I've seen that happen many times.
That people have been saved from suicide
Facebook. I actively know someone who actually was, who was given the proper information because they did not know who to contact.
Yeah.
You know, and immediately if you say something.
But that was someone looking for help again. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about.
No, they were just dropping enough code words into things
where someone could see it.
Where you can see it. And that's the thing. Like, there's enough people out there that, like, you know, I get it. And also, it's not just a one-time thing. It's not just one person coming on and go like, I don't know if it's all worthwhile, you know, not just doing one post.
Yeah, yeah.
You've seen them posting now,
sure.
And you've seen what they've been going through. And yeah, you can approach them that way in a way that has enough distance that you do feel comfortable giving maybe a number for who to call. And when you give that number, you're not necessarily just helping that person. There's other people who are reading this going like, oh, that's the number to call. I had no idea that was the number to call.
Yeah.
And just on a lighter way, here's a good recipe for fucking Thanksgiving. You know, there we go. Now, what practically does this mean? I just made a good 3-bean casserole that I wouldn't have known about, you know, except I mentioned I'm making dinner for my family and I wanted boom. It depends how you use it, obviously. You know, it's like really anything.
Yeah.
If you just go on and post a picture of a cat every so often, then yeah, you probably won't get much out of it.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's probably where I am.
Aw.
I don't get much out of it.
Okay. But do you not get stuff out of it when, say, people post about this show?
Well, yeah. I mean, I enjoy that. I don't. And to be honest with you, strangely enough, even like criticism doesn't really bother me that much in that context, you know.
Right.
But take a drink, everybody.
Everybody.
I would, but I've
we've drained our water bottles dry.
That's my last gulp.
Dear internet, we need water.
That's right. Facebook.
Yeah.
Let me get on Facebook and I'll type a.
So thirsty. Someone would tell you where the nearest fountain is.
So thirsty. But they would. Yeah. I was hoping they'd bring it to me, not just tell me some information. You should phone such and such and get them to bring you a water bottle.
It also, of course, does matter who you're friends with on Facebook. If you're, you know, if it's with people who, you know, care. I mean, there should be a certain amount of care in real life.
I try to be friends with people that I know. There are a few odd, you know, a few people that, not odd people, but a few people that I don't personally know in my life. But most everyone that I'm friends with on Facebook are people that I've known or do know personally, like mm-hmm. have talked to in person. So,
well, I know there's things that we've discussed.
So I personally know that they don't care about me on Facebook.
I mean, I think I get approached more than you do because I do other things, you know, but I have people come up and it feels weird to bring stuff up. But there's things that we've talked about on the show that...
Oh, no, I like compliments and
it's not even
kind words.
Yeah, there's compliments, there's kind words, but there's also a connection, which is them saying how the things we've talked about have sparked things with them, or they've started to discuss things, or, mm-hmm. you know, they start discussing, like when you talk about your faith, they can now talk about faith with, you know, the people around them in a way. Yeah. And it sparks things, you know, you never know what impact that you have. And I think that's just what Facebook is. It has impacts in just so many different directions. And yeah, you can say negative and absolutely you're right. I mean, it's so powerful. People are going to get hurt.
Sure.
You know, and people are going to be jerks and people are going to whatever, but you know, if you can use it correctly, it could be good. And it's a place to put my goddamn jokes. I don't know where to tell these fucking jokes.
Well, I love it for that.
I don't have two daughters trapped in the backseat of the car who have to listen to me while I'm driving them to school. You know, I gotta play this somewhere else.
And I'm not super critical of Facebook or anything else. I like it quite a bit. I'm more playing the devil's advocate here. Mm-hmm. And maybe it just reflects...
Which is good on Facebook.
There you go. And maybe it just reflects how I'm feeling after yesterday and sort of a sour experience. I had my first sour experience on Facebook.
Oh, really. And again, on my message board, I've had really sour experiences that I've had like stinging me for days where mm-hmm. I've just gone, you know, maybe that was me. Maybe I triggered something there and I'm, oh, geez, I don't know. Like, I think there's people nowadays who are probably going to need like social media therapy, mm-hmm. you know, just from that, just from those experiences. Yeah, that they get on there. Someone says something mean on Twitter or posts an angry thing, a picture of them that's unflattering or does some shit like that. I'm sure that's going to be a thing,
yeah.
You know, that we never really had to deal with. And now, there you go.
Now we do.
I mean, I wonder what it is like, you know, with high school and what have you. You know, high school was such an isolating experience, you know, and then I met people who were like-minded, but there was a big period of time before I did that.
Yeah. Well, it was the same for me.
Yeah, but I'm saying like nowadays, you know, if you say I love musical theater, boom, you're going to have a group of people around
you on Facebook, but you're still going to a lonely existence in school then. I mean, mm-hmm. if you can't make that connection in your real life, your real life is still a lonely place.
So those people in high school are probably on Facebook as well. You know, that is an
icebreaker. And they know you like musical theater and oh, are you fucked?
Well, why is that person friending you then? You know,
but it's not your high school friends who are friending you.
I bet they like musical theater too.
Kids in high school love musical theater.
Who doesn't like The Wizard of Oz?
Everyone.
I thought of a really dark version, by the way, of The Wizard of Oz the other day.
Oh.
Yeah, here's my dark version of The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
You got your Scarecrow, you mm-hmm. got your Tim Woodsman, you got your Lion, you got Dorothy.
Yeah.
And Scarecrow goes, I want a brain. And Woodsman goes, I want a heart. And the Lion goes, I just want courage. And Dorothy says, hey, you know, the Lion has both a heart and a brain. You can just take it from him. He's not going to fight back. He's a big chicken shit. And that's the end of the movie.
Wow, that's a short film.
Yeah.
Somewhere over the
Dorothy just goes
corpse.
Like, yeah, I'm not gonna go home. This place is in color. And mm-hmm. Toto goes, I had no fucking idea. I'm a dog. It's like, seriously, it's in color. And by the way, pee on the road. No one will know. Knock yourself out.
Pee on the yellow brick road. Pee on the yellow brick road.
Here's a weird question,
Dave.
Pee
on the yellow. Okay.
In The Wizard of Oz,
yes.
Are Dorothy and the wizard the only humans in Oz?
Are the witches not human?
No, I think they're witches.
That excludes them from being human?
I think they're biologically, they're witches. And I think the Munchkins aren't just little people. I think they're a different thing as well.
Well, it is significant in the film. And I'm not going to talk about the books because I've never read the series. So I can only talk about the film.
Oh, you're in for a treat one day.
I'm probably not.
You'll read them to your grandkids. You'll be forced
maybe.
To.
I never read them to the girls. I don't know why.
I know. You got grandkids, so it's going to be fun.
When the girls were younger, I found like this collection of all the little...
Dave doesn't have grandkids yet. I'm saying like in the future, he'll have grandkids.
That's a long ways away, please. A few years anyway. I found this collection of Little House in the Prairie books from like a collection, like a box set of the books. I never read them to the girls. And I always regret that. I'm sure they would have enjoyed them. It's stupid of me. But anyway.
Yeah. It's a collection of the books called Girls Gone Wilder.
I don't get it. because they're
Laura Ingalls Wilder is
oh,
the author.
Oh, there. Yeah.
So all these girls who are on vacation. They're dressing like really conservatively. Mm-hmm. They're going to church.
Yeah, and then they go to Daytona Beach. That's the second book.
Sure.
I was just going to say in The Wizard of Oz,
and then eventually go blind. Many of them go blind.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing. But once again, I don't know if that happened in the books because I never read them. In the Wizard of Oz, it's significant that those two people are aliens who have come from our world to that world. You know, so it's possible that they really are the only humans, unless other humans come there through various ways, because there apparently are innumerable ways to get to Oz. Not just a whirlwind.
Yeah.
A balloon in a whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
How does Dorothy get there the third time?
The third time?
Or the second time. I was thinking the second.
I think there is another storm. Are you talking about in the movie, second movie, Return to Oz? I believe it is another storm.
It's another storm.
I believe so. I haven't seen it in a while, but let me again recommend that movie as like a good dark bit of fun. Frizzabalk, nice film.
Yeah, that's pretty.
People
good.
At the time went, "What?" And
there's no singing.
But here's the thing. Nowadays, you know, because it started with her in an insane asylum, kind of, and like she might be getting electroshock therapy. Yeah. Horrific. Oh, it's the worst. And now, like, I think that's the plot of every damn ABC show. You know, it's like Alice in Wonderland. What's the deal? She's in an insane asylum. They think she's crazy. Yeah. And here he goes. All right, this just seems now Johnny Standard. You know, for everything. But they had that going on back then. So check it out now. Those of you that like Once and the other Once.
You didn't know.
Should have been called Twice, I think. Twice, because there's two of them.
You didn't know that Return to Oz was the inspiration for Sucker Punch. No one knew that, but it's true.
Is that no?
It's joking. I have no idea.
Oh, because of the insane asylum.
Don't take it seriously. And then you put me on the spot. Oh, is that right, Dave? War or Joker?
Dave, you were being very sincere.
Oh, was I being very sincere?
You were having a very sincere time.
A very sincere time talking about what? I just made that up. The whole Facebook thing? I just made that up.
I've been Diana'd. Wait, does that mean the cancer's gone? Now, when you were... Sorry, just going back to that movie. Did they mention the Minotaur thing in that?
Yeah.
All right, what is the Minotaur thing? I've heard stuff about this.
Okay, there's a poster on the wall of a skier. It's clearly a skier.
Yeah.
It says ski on the poster and has a skier and he's kind of...
Where do you see said poster?
You have to zoom in on it because it's on the is it a rec room? It's got like wood paneling on the wall and I don't remember what room it is now.
Okay, is it in the hotel?
It's in the hotel, yeah. Yeah, all right. It's in one of the rooms.
There's a picture of a skier.
And you have to zoom in on it.
All right.
And if you look at the skier, clearly a skier, it looks like a minotaur, but clearly a skier. And you can see its tail, clearly a ski pole. You can see its tail there. And it's interesting because this woman has done a lot of hard work watching this movie over and over again, looking for clues to what I don't know. Because the other thing is, you know, when Jack Nicholson's character goes into the gold room, there's a little poster board out front, like a little advertise, you know, leaning on a, I don't know what they call them. There's a name for it, for the board that's outside of
sandwich board.
It's not a sandwich board, but like a sandwich board.
All right.
But it says the gold room and then has this kind of interweaving golden line. And she says that references the thread, the golden thread in Perseus in the maze.
Sure, it does. Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, it's clearly a skier. Like you look at the picture, you're like, she's telling you it's a minotaur and you're like, no, you can see, even though you're trying to tell me it's a minotaur, it's clearly a skier. Like there's just no way a person who is not twisting it to fit a theory, you know, like it's just weird. I'll admit, like, if you want to talk about, like, Apollo, it's weird that, you know, that's the moon landing was faked and da-da-da-da. It is weird that Danny's wearing an Apollo 11 sweater, like, with the Apollo 11 on it. It does seem kind of strange. Like, when I saw that, when I was watching the film, they show that, I thought, that is kind of weird. Like, well, that's, like, not a common sweater design. Like, who wears, like, a sweater? It's a sweater.
Yeah.
With, like, what would you call it? Like... The pattern stitched into it of like Apollo 11.
Now Stanley Kubrick was involved in like, was something with filming? Was there something connection with Stanley Kubrick and Apollo 11?
No.
There was none?
No.
Okay.
He did use lenses from that NASA developed.
That's for, what I meant. Yeah, Linden. Yeah. There was that. So
for Barry Lyndon, but that was long after the moon landing.
All I could think like with that is that I'm betting the guy, if he used the lenses and he knew of the lenses, he was probably interested in NASA. He was interested in space, probably. Maybe that brings you to putting a little space thing
I
in there.
I don't. Well, I mean, he,
and a kid of that age, that would make sense that he would enjoy like an astronaut thing.
But when you watch 2001, do you feel like you're watching a movie made by someone who's interested in space?
Enough to make a movie about space.
But it's not about space, is
no,
it?
No, I get it, but it's about space, and then it goes Kubricky. It go, you know.
But even in the beginning, it's not about space. I mean,
and Shining's not about a hotel, but it is a movie about a hotel. But it's not about a hotel.
It's not about a hotel.
But it is about a hotel.
There's an interesting.
But it's not. But it is.
There's an interesting series of videos. Once again, by this collative learning. I hope that's a title, because I said it four or five times now, and if it's wrong, I'm going to feel like a dummy.
Fix it, Ned.
I'm going to have to. Calling up learning later on, I'll have to put it in the actual title. There's a series of three videos talking about the hidden. Once again, these are hidden messages, but yeah. It's more believable that Jack sexually abused Danny, and so and so he goes through and he shows different kind of clues. First, he just kind of gives a general overview of the sort of hidden things that Kubrick does put into his films.
Yeah,
and this. And, you know, The Shining is just another one of Kubrick's films. And why did he want to make this film? And what's really great about it is in the first video, he says, Stephen King still doesn't like Stanley Kubrick's Shining. And then he goes, but does he like this film better? And then it shows a bunch of scenes from the, which I've never seen, the actual, the TV version of it.
That the answer is yes, he does.
What the fuck? It's terrible. It's terrible in every way.
Yeah.
It looks terrible.
Yeah.
It sounds terrible.
Yeah.
The storyline is terrible. Yeah. Like, everything that's bad about Stephen King is bad in that.
Yeah.
Like, Stanley Kubrick took... Like, I've said before, like, when I saw the film when I was in grade 8, I was very disappointed by The Shining. But I was disappointed by it because I was still a kid who wanted to see exactly what he read in a book on the screen. I didn't want to see the jazz interpretation.
So in that way, you were very much like Stephen King.
Very much like Stephen King. But it kind
of the king of children.
But it shows why an author really shouldn't have very much to do with anything to do with.
No, shouldn't.
You know, like, in that way, I kind of like Alan Moore's attitude to his books and stuff being made into movies, which is, I don't care. I do not care what they do with it. Because once it's out of my hands, it's out of my hands. I don't care. Like, they can make it great or make it bad. I don't know. I don't care. And that's the correct attitude to have. Unfortunately, that attitude is pretty much passed on to the filmmakers who apparently didn't care, and they have not made any good things out of Alan Moore's material either.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite an interesting series of videos, and I was watching it. Like, this curious things, like in there's a scene in the near the beginning of the film where Jack Nicholson's character is sitting in the lobby reading a magazine, and then Ullman comes out to talk to him and bring him back to the office for his interview. The magazine that Jack Nicholson's reading is a Playgirl magazine. Not a Playboy magazine, a Playgirl magazine. And, of course, people have zoomed in and have found the issue. And on the cover of it is about incest. There's an article about incest in this Playgirl magazine. So why was he reading it? Why was that put in the film? It has to be there for a reason. It wasn't just on the set and someone picked it up and gave it to Jack Nicholson to use a magazine. Or maybe they did. Who knows, right? Like, it's just hard to know what's happenstance and what was meant. Because Kubrick was a very deliberate filmmaker. He planned his films for years and years before he made them. So,
well, it felt like there was an element of The Shining of what you would consider, at least at that time, of perversion.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely had that with the creepy, furry creature.
The dog and, bear things.
Yeah, and, the bathtub scene and whatever. Mm-hmm. There's some perversion to that, too. And so it makes sense that you'd throw that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. But the Minotaur is also the hedge maze. Is that the situation as well?
I can't remember. I have to admit, I nodded off during 2:37.
I'm going to assume yes, because, it's a maze. It's related. I mean, what I can't, imagine is that you would have so much time as Stanley Kubrick to make this film, this intricate film, mm-hmm. like detail.
Yeah.
And then, I am going to, then do the 17 layers of subtext in there as well. Maybe you would. Maybe that's what you would do, but seems a little bit.
Well, I think that
he's got the time.
Yeah, so the time. Well, I think a lot of the things happen coincidentally too. Mm-hmm. Like, you can have things happen when you're making a film or writing a story or whatever that you don't realize are going to work magically with what, where you come to at a point, you're going to be like, oh, that fits perfectly with what I wrote before. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't conscious.
Yeah. And people go, that can't be coincidence. It is coincidence.
It's coincidence. Yeah.
It almost like, but people will always, I mean, this thing with any art or anything, people will always add their element to it, and they will make connections, and they will have emotions that might not even work with what was originally intended, which brings us back to the internet.
Yes.
And like, I think if you write anything of any length with any passion, you will trigger things in people that you did not intend. And that's just the curse of actually having a fucking opinion and putting something out there.
That's possibly true. Gee, am I popping a lot?
I'm not hearing you popping.
Okay.
Now, I want to.
I just was going to say,
you please, because I'm gonna bring something big up right after you.
Okay. Done. Well, I was just going to say about. I mean, part of my problem with Facebook or the internet or anything like that is I have trouble with hearing nuance and from people. Like, it's just a. You know, it's part of my social awkwardness. It's just my inability to pick up what people are trying to say.
It's a new way of communicating.
Even that. I mean, I just had it my whole life. My whole life, I've just had trouble.
I think people back in the day probably took Morse code the wrong way. They were like, beep, 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 beep. What the fuck is that guy saying? No, I meant beep, 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 beep. What beep, 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 beep. Like,
it's one of the reasons I don't like talking to people on the phone. It's because I can't see their face, so I don't know what they're – I can't get context to what they're saying.
Yeah, I have a problem with that too, yeah.
Yeah. And so I feel it's probably a problem I have with Facebook or and Twitter as well.
Not in a face in Facebook.
I'm just like, I've totally offended them. And they're just like, eh.
Yeah, but you know what? Also, people are going to be offended. Yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
So what's this big thing you're going to do?
Here's the big thing. Dave.
Yes.
That's
my name. Don't wear it out.
I think that you're – how could you? It's been around since like David and Goliath. If it was going to be worn out, it would be worn out by now.
Since that Sunday morning cartoon show, it's been around.
I think that's who originated it. You made a sacred vow.
I did.
And I'm going to call you on that sacred vow.
Okay.
You promised something to our listeners.
Oh, I did.
This episode.
I did.
And I'm just asking you if you're going to deliver on it or not.
What did I promise?
Have you remembered this?
No, I don't.
You made this promise at the end of our last episode.
Oh, okay.
To our listeners.
Yes.
That you were going to wrap up Deck Talk.
Oh, okay. Phew, that's all it is. Gosh,
yeah.
I was really worried there.
This was going to be the final Deck Talk. And you promised the people.
Yeah, okay.
We ended the episode. Haven't got time this week, you said, because you were talking about whatever bullshit you were talking about last week.
Yeah.
But this week,
squirrels.
You promised.
Yeah.
And I'm calling you on it.
I think we're out of time.
Okay.
On the next show next week. Deck Talk. I mean, it's been 2 weeks since I've even looked at my deck. I'll just give you guys an update on the deck.
Dave, are you homeless now? Oh, wait, you're right by the railroad track playing the old banjo.
Right, playing
strumming
the old,
on the old banjo.
The old skinjo,
ding, as it's called sometimes. Hambone.
Got Scatman Crothers out here. Put an axe in his chest. Well, it is Hambone.
Hey, Scatman, I want to ask you something. Go ahead.
So, boy, this deck talk is... Anyway, so it's
no,
been
Deck
a while.
Deck Talk begins now. Deck Talk.
Officially, you don't have it. You got to have a song.
That's right. Deck Talk. Go.
What? I'm not accepting that.
You're not?
Nope. Another one.
Okay.
Come on. Better.
Okay.
Gotta be better.
Okay. Love, love me do. You know I love you. I'll always be true. So please, Deck Talk.
That's better. All right. So with my deck. This is where we are now, everybody. I have no money in my bank account.
It's all in the deck.
It's all, well, I, you know, my daughter's
By the way,
going
Dave's,
to university.
Dave's treasure is underneath his deck. Go to his home. All the money's under the deck.
My daughter's going to university, and I've never realized what an incredible drain paying for textbooks and university is out of my bank account. It's a lot of money. And what I'm thinking now is that how come I paid for university myself, and she's not?
And also, my question is, how come they still use textbooks in this fucking day and age?
Yeah, they still do.
What's the point?
Because they cost a lot of money.
Yeah, you know, it'd be nice downloading those things to, say, an iPad or whatnot. And,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. But anyway, so I don't have money to finish the deck. Because my plan was to get a vinyl covering over the deck. Mm-hmm. I am not going to do that this year. So what I've done, I got it all finished. I got all the plywood on.
Well, you're saying it's finished, but it's not
finished. Finished in the sense that I've done all that I can do on it.
All right.
If I was being fussy, I could probably go around it with a router and just kind of make sure that all the wood around it is all, you know, even with the fascia boards that I have. Because I put on two layers of fascia boards and then the plywood goes over top of those.
Okay.
Overhanging the edge a little bit of the actual shop or studio. So I've got all the plywood down. It's all screwed down. Every screw, I put 1 million screws into it, you know, every 6 inches and every 8 inches or whatever. And so that's all done. I have all my stairs are all built, except I'm missing one board, which I have to put it in my table saw and shave it down a little bit.
Okay.
But I can't do that because all my papers and stuff that I had moved when I was working in the shop are all still piled up in the table saw. So I've got to move all those things off. The other problem I had is I had a mysterious leak a little while ago, and I don't know why. In one corner of my shop, I had about an inch of water, and it got, so my Playboys got wet. My Playboy collection got wet because
right.
I was sitting on the floor there. So that was a little disturbing. But it hasn't been wet since then, so I have no idea what caused it or where it came from. So,
and that's why you had to replace them all with Playgirls.
Yes, that's right.
Also because you're a huge fan of The Shining.
And Britt Reynolds. So So all those are piled in the middle of the floor right now because I took them all out because I wanted them to dry, and I did some work back there because I put in two more lights in my shop as well.
Uh-huh.
Two more fluorescent lights above my drawing table. Oh, it's bright in there now. I really like it.
You need it. In the wintertime,
need that. Oh, it's great. And then, my table's still pulled away from the wall. I've got all these comics piled in the middle of the floor. I've got all this paper and everything piled on my table saw. I have all my Sticky Dragon art and stuff like that piled in a gigantic pile on top of my table saw. And it's a sort of floppy pile
right.
on that.
It sounds like the saw's just going to turn on randomly.
It's a mess. Yeah, it's a
there goes.
It's getting to my table and my desk where my computer is.
We're really close to the Three Stooges dropping by.
Yeah.
This is the setup for something like that. Yeah.
It's a dangerous, narrow course to walk. So I'm hoping I'll get that cleaned up before winter is over. And then I have it covered with two tarps are covering it. And that's where it's going to stay until springtime comes. And I hope I'll have some moolah in the old bank account to the extra money. I obviously have money in the bank account, but I mean extra money to pay someone to come and put on a vinyl
mm-hmm.
deck. So that's where I am.
Well, you know what they say about guys who have two tarps? Two tents.
Is that right?
That's what they say. So relax.
Okay. It's fine. I didn't. Man, I didn't even get that. That's how lame I am. Went right over
my
head.
That was a complete Dave joke.
It was a complete Dave joke.
That completely was a Dave joke.
It was a good one, too, and I just missed it.
I'm sorry, sad. Dave.
I was obviously still in a deck mode.
Dave,
yes.
Do you want me to do one other Dave joke for you?
Sure.
All right. It's kind of fun sometimes doing Dave jokes.
Oh, yeah.
It's the kind of joke that you tell to the daughters, again, who are in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
They're on their way to university. You paid for university, so they got to shut up and take it.
Yeah.
They got to listen to these jokes.
Well, it's the perfect time to do it, because if you did this on Facebook, I would be offended.
And that's right.
Not know what you're doing.
Hey, Dave.
Mm-hmm?
Did you hear about the two holes in the ground?
No.
Well, well.
There you go. That's another great Dave joke.
Yep.
Any joke that makes my daughters groan with pain and misery, I like those jokes.
Well, let's say this. Like, again, we've got one contest going on right now, which is pick a topic that we're going to have to do for an entire episode. That's one thing we want to do. So mm-hmm. please keep. We've got a couple.
We've got two so far.
That is a couple.
One is.
Oh, should we say?
Sure, yeah.
All right, go ahead. What the one is?
One is it's kind of hard to know exactly what the topic is because the question was Dave likes Jane Austen.
Mm-hmm.
Is it his favorite novel? Or Dave is an American. Dave likes Jane Austen.
Mm-hmm.
Is it his favorite novel spelled Favorite
right.
in the rather odd Noah Webster way of spelling the word? Or is it his favorite novel, Favourite, the correct spelling of favorite novel?
Okay, so that person thinks we can get an hour out of that.
Apparently.
Okay, all right. What's the
other
one?
And the other one is Richard Scarry.
Oh, talking about Richard Scarry.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not super familiar with Richard Scarry, but I can research should it come down to it. So those are the two leaders of the pack.
The only ones we have so far.
Yeah.
So if you don't want a show about OU and O.
Canadian spellings.
Stupid Noah Webster.
Yeah.
And or a Richard whole show about Scarry. Us talking about Richard Scarry. Richard Scarry it's a wider topic, I think.
Yeah.
I think
there's a lot of lowly worm talk.
I think it was Thomas Kellaway who sent us that favorite question. I think he likes to torment us.
Sure. So anyway, those are our two ones we've gotten so far. If you've got a topic you'd rather us do for an hour, let us know. And we're giving away prizes. We're giving away like some buttons, some shirts, some business. So do that. Now I'm going to throw the other contest on us, which is like, I want the best Dave joke.
Can I just also add that we don't have any buttons yet? That's
okay.
In the works.
I may just get a handful of buttons off my coat and put those in there.
That would be disappointing to some people.
And I'll just take some liquid paper and I'll draw a dragon on them.
Sure.
I'll
send a picture of me playing my banjo.
Now, let me give you the rules to Dave jokes.
Okay.
These are what are typically called dad jokes. Now, you've got a picture that there's two girls, Millis and Phyllis. They're in the back seat.
Yep.
Dave is driving. His lovely wife has decided not to go
driving
with
them crazy.
Okay, that's a good example. His lovely wife has decided not to be in the drive because she's been through this shit before.
Yeah,
and she does not need a lift.
She doesn't.
She can just hop on a horse and go wherever she wants.
She has her own car.
She and horse. So what we need is a joke that that Dave would do.
Yeah.
That would make his daughters go, and then put on their headphones,
yes,
or earbuds, whatever they would do, or just look down at their devices.
Watch Air Bud with the earbuds.
So that's what I want. I need some dad jokes that are Dave jokes next couple of weeks. And whoever does the best one of those will also give away some prizes.
Yeah, we'll get some stuff together.
Fantastic. Now, how are we doing for time, David?
I think we're almost out of it.
All right.
Do you want to we kind of plug? Do you want to do a plug, or are we all plugged out?
We can do just some quick plugs again. Completely Beatles is a new podcast we got coming up. I've got a book on Kindle called It's About Tolerance Stupid, which we talked a little bit about that improv board that I do called No And on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the board's called. It's called No And. And that is spun off into a book on Kindle called It's About Confidence Stupid. Why not go on there?
It's about tolerance.
Tolerance Stupid. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. Thank you for tolerating getting my title of my book wrong.
That's right.
I really appreciate that. It makes a lovely gift for the holidays.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, that's right. I say the holidays because I want people to be giving it away all year long. So whenever you're listening to this.
Arbor Day.
Guy Fawkes Day.
Sure.
Groundhog Day.
All works.
Yeah. If it's Groundhog Day, give it again and again and again.
Grandparents Day.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the Critical Hit Show, which I do live here in Vancouver, is going on a little bit earlier this month.
Because otherwise it would fall on Christmas Day.
That's right. I'm not sure specifically what day it'll be, but it's earlier than normal.
It's 7 days before the 20th. It'll be the 18th.
18th. Well done. Yeah. Well done, Dave.
No problem.
So anyway, if you want to come and see that show, I will be there. And always happy to hear from you and say hi after the show. I know quite a few of you that listen to the show come to that show. So hello, and it's always very, very nice. Someone did a thing, actually, that I wanted to say. Her name is Alana, and she did this. I've got a mace on the show, this sparkle mace.
Sparkle mace, yeah.
And she made a cozy for the mace.
Nice.
That says, what would Peter do on it? Which is a reference to the god I worship, which is Peter in
a subsidiary of
the Pepsi-Cola company.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, mm-hmm. we have Peter shirts. Now available on our website, sneakydragon.com, as well as our traditional shirts. And our Play Dragon shirts are on there now.
Play Dragon shirts on there.
And those are going fast.
Those are going fast.
Those have sold 100% more than they did last week.
That's right. And I think I'm going to put that Doctor Who inspired one that I did last week. I think I might put it up there too.
Nice. Alrighty. So lots of things to do. Go to our website. Why not comment about things? Why not enter our various contests? And it's always great to hear from you guys. And, we're getting around the holiday season, so be safe out there on the roads.
Yes.
Things are slippery. People are drinking.
People are slippery.
They're like they are on the internet. They're drunk. They're drunk. So be very, very careful, because we want you all to have a safe this time of year. It's also very dark out.
It is unusually dark.
Unusually dark. So, turn on some lights like Dave does in his deck. Just crank those lights on.
Yeah.
Sit on your stack of wet Playboys and listen to some podcasts.
Yes. Oh, my poor antique Playboys.
Why are these Playboys so damp? The leak in the tarp. There's no leak in the tarp. Shut up. I got to go back to the rail yard.
It's hard to explain to people they're wet because of a mysterious leak in the wall that has never occurred again. That's true. Thanks for bringing that up.
I'm sorry.
Damn it.
Anyway, it's your turn to wrap up
the show.
That was
my good excuse. Well, now that Ian has revealed the true me, we want to thank you all for listening to our show. We really appreciate all your input and output, and we thank you. Sorry, I had to swallow there. That wasn't a nervous tick. So I guess that's it for us for this week. So goodbye, everyone.
Take care.
A few seconds of silence, then we'll shart the stow. It's already off to a great start.
Yeah, you're already sharting. That's always a great thing.